Like, Rob, why are we all of a sudden just talking about creation out of the middle of nowhere? Can you guys show that clip real quick of the gospel lens that we've been talking about? Last week, we started talking about good news, right? And we talked about how the good news is everywhere. Even in, like, hard situations or things that we don't think are good news, we can find the good news there. And we talked about divorce. We talked about people passing away that we love. We talked about all the things that sin brings to the world. And we're like, how is that good news? How do you see good news in those things? And so we talked about this thing called the gospel lens. And that's kind of as we believe in Jesus Christ, he helps us see things differently. It's like getting this lens that helps us look at the world and see a totally different place. Because now when we see difficult things and we see like heart-wrenching situations in our life, we can see more than just the pain. We can see more than just the brokenness and the sin. We can start to see through a lens like this that says the gospel is in even those situations. As a matter of fact, in those really bad situations is where the gospel becomes the most beautiful and the most necessary for us. And so as we're walking through this thing called the gospel lens, we talked about how it has four parts. Everything we look at, we can see four things in it. Everything. We see creation, and that's what we're on tonight. That's why we're talking about creation tonight. How does it fit into this good news? How do we see good news in the creation? And then we looked at, the next thing we looked at was the fall. It's the next part of the gospel, right? God created us perfectly, but we fell, we sinned, and sin changed us. We got cursed, and that brought death, the penalty of hell. But there's good news, right? And that's the next part is Jesus came and said, no, that's not good enough for me. I love you too much to just let this happen. And he died for us in our place. And then it doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just like die for us and pay all that penalty so that you can keep staying broken. He's like, now, because I've done this awesome thing, I can totally restore you. And that's the last part of the lens, is that we can see restoration, where everything will be made better than it ever was. You'll be a brand new creation, and God wants to restore you and all the brokenness and pain and everything else in your life and the things that are to come into your life. Jesus says, I came to restore all of it. And so every bad situation, we can see through that gospel lens and see this beautiful gospel. That's really, really good news for you and me. Because no matter what the world brings or how bad things get in our lives, there's always good news in it. In every single detail. And that's the lens that we see it through Jesus himself. He helps us to see those things. And so tonight, we're going to look at that first part, creation. All right? And so we had some of these videos just to get your minds thinking a little bit on creation. And I'm not like this stud scientist up here that can like explain all of this stuff to you, but I do know God's word. And I do have some scientific stuff I want to show you because I don't think we should be ignorant to that either. All right? So this isn't going to be science class. You're already like, oh no, do I take my notes? You can take notes if you want. Hey, if you're that type of student, that's awesome. This won't be science class, but I do want to encourage you in something. God's awesome. I'm the nerd. Like, I'm not like the nerd that does well in like science and math classes. Don't laugh, Rachel. But all right, so my math skills aren't the best, but I am the nerd that will sit like in front of my TV like every night and watch the Science Channel about like all the planets and all the craziness. I love that stuff. It's just crazy. Like, but anyway, I digress. So I'm going to have fun doing this. I hope you guys have fun too. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 1. That's the account. That's where it all goes down. That's where it all happens, where God says, I'm deciding to start life. That's where our history begins. That's where the timeline starts. That's where you and I became this glimmer to eventually come into life. And so we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1 together. And I'm just going to read like chunk by chunk as we walk through this, and God answers some of these questions for us. Are you ready? You guys know this probably by heart. How many of you guys memorized the first verse, Genesis 1:1, without looking at it? How many can say it? Say it. Somebody, I don't know, say it. Bam, right there. Yeah, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is the creation story. God created. Now, check this out, because there's some really cool science here. Somebody remind me, when was this written? Well, yes. Physically, when was this put on paper, like documented? Who knows? 10? This is an approximation of about 10,000 years ago. 10,000 years ago. So, okay, wait. So if that's true... Okay, if that's true, how long ago did science really start like rolling with physics and all these other things? Probably like yesterday. Well, not yesterday, Definitely not 10,000 years ago, right? Within the last couple hundred years, science, we'll get into that. Are you ready? Let's just look at it. In the beginning, those are really important words. Why? Why do you think they're important? It's the beginning. It's the very beginning, but it also means God did something. He created something. Something started. The science says in order to have life or existence, there are four things you have to have, absolutely necessary, and one of them is called time. Boom, right away you see, in the beginning. God initiates, and so time comes into existence because someone initiated it. Now, if there is no initiator of time, how could time even exist? How would there be time? And so God says, I'm coming along and I'm outside of time itself. I'm bigger than time because I'm God. And so I'm going to make a beginning. And in this beginning, I've now set time, which is number one thing that physics says you have to have. But then he doesn't just stop there. Within this one verse, we see all four of the main things that physics say you have to have. And these are like really smart dudes who have like 2 billion IQs and stuff have figured this out just recently. And 10,000 years ago, we already saw that God's like, yeah, I got that figured out in the beginning. Like in eternity past, I had that. Like Moses, Abraham, all these old dudes knew that, and they didn't even have running water, okay? Like they're still riding camels and donkeys, but they knew these four things. And Stephen Hawking's like, yeah, I just discovered something awesome. No, you didn't. God knew this. Like this is how it happened. And so number one was time. God created. Created. That's a really important word. And if you look at it, you see action. He's creating. He's initiating. The second thing you need for existence to exist, energy. Without energy, nothing exists. You know that everything in the entire universe is made of energy that's just in one state or another. It just vibrates faster or slower, but it's all just energy. You're made of energy. Even the part like this part, like your skin is energy. It's vibrating at a different speed than your hair and your eyes and your breath and all these different things, but it's all comes down to energy, and that energy had to come from somewhere. And so God said, I'm taking my energy and I'm pouring it into the universe by creating. The very creative act of God is the energy that the universe needed to begin. Time and energy. Boom, boom, right there. Third thing, he says, God created what? The heavens. Not heaven, because later in this passage, he's going to talk about a heaven, a sky, an expanse. But right here, it uses the word heavens. Well, if you have something and you got time, where are you going to put all that? Somebody said it. Space. You're going to have somewhere to put it. So God creates space, time, energy, and space. Those are the first three things you need. So God's like, yeah, I'm going to create some time. I'm going to get the energy together that we need, and I'm going to put it in this thing called space that I'm going to create. So now I have time, energy, and space. And then finally it says, and the earth. What's the earth made of? Matter, right? And that's the fourth thing you need. You need matter to be inside this thing. Time, energy, space, and matter. The very first verse of the Bible has just surpassed science by leaps and bounds. The first verse. That's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, counting is not my strong suit. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words and less words than that actually in Hebrew, in the original words. He was able to explain all of physics. And you're like, the Bible's not a scientific book. It's not scientific at all. But they happen to know exactly what it took to create the universe. That's incredible. So you're about to see some science here. The very science that most science teachers and professors are going to tell you, like, that's a crock. There's nothing in there. It's fairy tales about dudes on big boats and floods and stuff like that. And there's no science behind this. And in one verse, 10 words, you can say, oh, yeah, the Bible already talked about four main things that you guys say we have to have. It's in what they call the laws of thermodynamics. Matter. Space, time, energy. Those are the four things you have to have. And God's like, yep, bam, I did it. That's how I know, right? That's just the first verse. Like, that's awesome, God. Like, you're so sweet. Look at what verse 2 says. Sorry, verse 3. Is that the first verse? Two verses. I skipped a verse. Oh, yeah, I skipped a verse. Verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Check out this next verse. Ready? and God said. Wait, we just switched. There's like a whole new paradigm here going on because God didn't say anything in that verse one, right? Did you hear God say anything? No, but how does God create everything? Speaking. So that first verse is almost kind of set apart. It's like this overview of what we're about to see. God's going to say, this is how it's done. Bam. And I'm going to describe the laws of thermodynamics for you, which you're an ancient person. You don't even really understand that yet. But I'm still going to put it here for you. And then he's going to explain in detail how he does this thing. And everything he creates from this point on, he's saying, God said. God said. God spoke it. He just willed this thing to happen. And at his words, the universe is like, yes, sir. Like, whatever you want, because you're God, I'm doing it. And it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Wait a minute. Somebody look in there for me real quick. Did he create the sun? Is that how he made light? How about the stars? The moon? Moon doesn't actually emit light, it reflects it, right? But where's this light coming from? It doesn't say he made that yet. As a matter of fact, we have to go to another day of creation, a couple days later, to even see the sun and the moon and the stars be created. But all of a sudden he's like, let there be light, and there's light shining around. Where's the light coming from? It's incredible. This is where science helps us out a little bit. You know that science says this thing called a photon? Everyone heard of a photon? Photon. What does it sound like? What does it sound like in Spanish when you say photo? Huh? It's light, basically. It's a light particle. I can't describe all this. Google it. You'll find out way more cool information that's way smarter than me, but I'm going to help you out with what I found, is that it's a light particle. Basically, the most fundamental energy in the universe is a photon, and a photon is light, and light is energy. So it goes back to what God just said when he created this energy, right? He used this thing called a photon. The most fundamental building block of the universe is a photon, and that's light. And so when God starts everything by saying, let there be light, I'm going to create the universe out of light. What? We just discovered photons. Like, we didn't even know in like 10,000 years ago. Like, God, how is this? My science teacher says this is a crock. But you knew about photons 10,000 years ago? Let there be light. And then out of that light, he creates. And look how awesome this is. And God said, here it goes again, right? Again, God's speaking this to happen. Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. He goes, makes water up here around the earth and down here around the earth. And there's air between them, okay? That's what he does. And it was so. And God called the expanse. Now we see the word heaven, the sky. All right? And there was evening and there was morning the second day. He didn't go, okay, now there's little angels on clouds flying around and made heaven. It's like the sky, heaven. Now here's a really cool thing. I have a friend. His name's Jacob Fall. You guys know who he is? He was around here back at Firehouse, a good old Firehouse boy for a long time. Some of you guys know him. Matt's like one of his best buddies. Jacob Fall is a dude who, when he graduated, started studying how to use this thing called a hyperbaric chamber. Have you ever heard of those? Hyperbaric chambers, NFL players, they get hurt. Let's say they like pull their, let's say like snap their MCL lamin OP, okay? Whatever that is. So he goes and they're like, hey, we pay you billions of dollars a year to play football, so we need you to get better really fast. So we're going to take you, and we're going to stick you in this thing called a hyperbaric chamber, which is basically super, super rich oxygen inside this thing, and we're going to keep you there, and you're going to stay in there and be treated by this so that you'll heal in like a fraction of the time that I would heal because I don't have millions of dollars to be in the chamber. It's incredible. And like, hey, you could do more than just help people hear really fast. You could take carrots and grow them in a hyperbaric chamber, and the carrots grow to be like this big, like bigger than my dog. They're huge. It's awesome. And speaking of dogs, they grew some like little animals in there, and this little bunny was like 70 pounds. It was like, what's going on? Everything that they grew inside this hyperbaric chamber, you guys can Google this stuff. It's all right on, and it's like Snope it, make sure it's not a lie, but it's definitely legit. And Jacob learned how to use this thing, and he's telling me all about like how incredible this chamber is and how good it is. And basically, if you do the science here of what God's saying he did around this earth, he had this water sphere around the sky that we don't see anymore. It's not there. I wonder where it fell to and flooded everything. I don't know. Maybe later, right? The flood, maybe, possibly. But anyway, this thing would hold in all this incredible amount of oxygen that we had. And basically, this whole world was a big hyperbaric chamber. Now, during my viewings of these like totally heretical shows at night, I tell you of like the Science Channel, it's totally like a farce. They still talk about this stuff. So they talk about how they think the world had this water sphere. I'm like, you think so? I mean, the Bible said it had one, you know, like, duh. And it's like, it would be this huge hyperbaric chamber, you think? Because it's described perfectly right here. It's right here. This same Bible that you say has no science in it. What you're saying the world would have been is right here. That's 10,000 years ago, right? It's really cool because there's other things, just little things I'm going to just throw at you because I like them. They're fun, right? Dinosaurs. You guys like dinosaurs? Anybody like dinosaurs? This is my dinosaur thing. Some of you guys have heard of this. So, like, there's some studies done on dinosaurs, and they're looking at these humongous animals, and they're looking at them, and they're like, their lungs were like these little teeny bitty lungs. They're like, there's no way with the amount of oxygen that we breathe right now or have available to us that such a huge animal with such tiny lungs could even breathe and survive. They would die. But if you have a water sphere around your planet that's keeping super condensed, super rich oxygen available to them, guess what? Big old dinosaurs breathing just fine. They're little teeny lungs. No problem. Where do the dinosaurs go? Well, I wonder. We don't have a water sphere anymore. Fire-breathing dragons. You're like, this guy's so nuts. Like, who is this guy tonight? I love science. Fire-breathing dragons. This is a little more legend, but if you guys look through the cultures of the world, every single culture talks about these dragons that would breathe fire. Maybe it's just this fairy tale people just tend to make up. Or maybe they saw dinosaurs that breathed this incredibly rich oxygen with their huge bodies, and they were breathing so much of it. You know what happens to oxygen when it's released quickly? Huh? Fire. You get flames. You ever seen those big Zeppelin thingamajigs? You know, that like float. And when they release the oxygen, you see flames, right? You can research that too. They'll say it in a much smarter way than I'm explaining right now. All I'm saying is maybe they saw dinosaurs that were breathing super rich oxygen because we had a water sphere just like the Bible says, right? Like it's all here. The science is here. Why are scientists so blind to it? Why do they not want to look and just see that the Bible is already talking about this stuff? And it's pretty cool stuff if you just take the time to look. There's so many Christians that don't want to look. We're just like, yeah, it's fine. I'll just trust it's there. I'm sorry, but you guys are past a day where that's okay anymore. It's not okay for us as believers to just sit back and be like, yeah, I'll just trust it's there. We need to be ready with an answer. And I'm not asking you to go like get doctorate degrees in science unless God calls you to do it. We can use more of those people. But I am asking you to know God's word. Study scripture. Know what Jesus says, right? And why do I say Jesus? Because Jesus was the one who created and sustains the world. We're about to see that in just a minute. Look at verse 6. And God said, I'm sorry, not verse 6, we just did that. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. Okay, that's where we're at. Yay, thank you, Lord. We can walk. And it was so. It happened. Boom. God says it. It's done. God called the dry land earth. And the waters that were gathered together, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. During my little shows that I watch at night, you guys really need to check these out, but they're totally heretical. So be careful watching them. Make sure you compare them with the Bible. They're looking for planets right now because you know how like Elon Musk and all those dudes like NASA, everybody's like, we got to find planets that are like Earth. Let's find one. And so they're looking and they're looking. And every night there's all these shows of all these planets they're discovering. And they go through planet by planet by planet. And you know what they find? They're like, we're like the only ones here. They're like totally depressed by it because every single planet they're finding is not livable. It's so far from livable. Like, you couldn't even get close to it. You'd burn up on one. And the other one, you'd freeze. The other one just didn't even have land. You just pass through it. Like, there's no life. And they're like, where is all this life? And I look at this right here, and I see God creating a planet that's absolutely perfect and designed exactly how it needs to be to sustain life. And so you and I are here, and we're breathing, and we have food, and we're able to exist because God said, I will intentionally design a place. It's not going to just happen. It's not going to just blow up, and all of a sudden things are going to mush together, and then which is very scientific, isn't it? I mean, that's a great answer. And then all of a sudden life will pop up out of nowhere. Or this God who's outside of space and time and energy and matter says, I will create and I will make a perfect design for this world. You hear how the good news is forming? I mean, we're talking science, yes, but really remember the point is the gospel lens. This is good news. Because you have a God who intentionally made you and designed you exactly how he wants you to be. You have a God who loves you enough to put you on a planet where he wants you. You're not just left floating around wondering what your purpose is in life. So many people, we talked about this last week, are walking around depressed and discouraged and even some suicidal because they're like, I don't know what my purpose is. Why am I even here? Why am I bothering? This answers that question for me, guys. God loves you. God intentionally designed you. He has a purpose for you. Just like we see here as he's creating, and we're about to show up on the scene. Are you ready? So he creates all this awesome stuff, and it says, and God said, he called the dry lands earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God said that it was good. Hear that word? Good. That word can also here be translated perfect. So as God's looking over the creation that he intentionally designed and made, we're going to hear this word he says over and over and over again. It's perfect. So you're like, Rob, you talk about good news. I see good news everywhere. How? How with cancer and with my dog dying and with all these horrible things in life? How? This is not a perfect world. Where do you see good news everywhere? I'm here to tell you that God started it off by making it perfect. He looks at it and he says, this is exactly how I want it to be. And he says that word about it and over it. He says, it's good. It's good. This creation is exactly how I intended it to be. It's not an accident. It's not broken in any way. There's no pain. There's no tears. There's no sickness, no cancer. It's perfect. And then he starts. Look at what he really gets going here as he's creating. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation and plants. The vegetarians are like, yes, yes. I'm like, boo, where's the pizza? Anyway, yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed. Check out this phrase he uses as he talks about creating. He says, each according to its kind. That's a huge word. And as your teachers are like, hey, things just kind of evolved. And as these things evolve, some of these forms die away because they weren't good enough. And so survival of the fittest kicks in and something better has to come along. And eventually man comes on the scene. You'll even hear churches and people who profess to be believers preaching this today. And you're like, bro, did you read your Bible, pastor? Because this says that God created it and it was good. It wasn't so bad it had to die off and something better take its place until eventually it reached like mankind and we're like, great now. It says he created it and it was good. It was perfect already. Evolution wouldn't have a need to exist in a universe like this that the Bible says because it was already perfect. You didn't need survival of the fittest. Everything was perfectly fit. And on top of that, he says each thing was created according to its kind. There is no room for evolution in Christianity. There's zero room. And I know today that the lines are blurring more and more and more, and more prominent pastors are starting to preach about it. But I'm here to show you in God's word tonight, right here. Believe it for yourself or not, it's in God's word. There's no room for evolution here. Each was created according to its kind. God designed everything how it is. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to make it and it's going to slowly turn into that thing. He made it. He made animals. He made plants. He made each animal how he wanted to be. And he looked at you and we're about to get there. Look what he says when he comes to us. Well, he's not quite to us yet, sorry. This is a really, really good, like, climactic moment. We're about to come on the scene, though. Look at what he says next in verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. Here they are. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, perfect. And there was evening and morning, the fourth day. Wait a minute, but there's been light for 4 days now. Like, so if there's already been light and now day four, all of a sudden, sorry, 3 days, now day four, he's like, now I'm going to make the sun. You see how important that first let there be light is? God is so intelligent. And we want to hold him in this little box and so often think, God, I'm smarter than you. You see, intelligence doesn't ever come from something unintelligent. I challenge you to find something in the universe that is intelligent that came from something unintelligent. You're like, you haven't met my dad, man. He's not very smart. And so, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't take a bunch of rocks, throw in the ground, and get a filing cabinet or a computer, right? When was the last time you knocked over your Legos and all of a sudden an iPhone popped out, right? Like that video. You don't get intelligence from something unintelligent. You don't get organizational systems from chaos. It doesn't happen. Look around the universe. Find it for me. Bring it to me. I'll buy you pizza if you can find it, right? Because you won't. But I'll still buy you pizza because I like pizza, okay? Maybe I'll just eat it myself and not give you any. God's awesome. All right, so check this out. I can't really see very well up here. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth. All the fishermen are like, woohoo, yeah, salt life, right? And fly above the earth. And Matt's like already shooting ducks right now. So all these ducks, birds are flying in the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds. There it is again. Their kinds, plants according to their kind. Birds, fish according to their kind. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was, and here it is again, good, perfect. And God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. There's some birds, there's some fish, there's some plants, and then he comes along and says, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, again, if we didn't get it the first four times, livestock, that's where we get steak from, everybody, just so you know, right, ribeye steaks, and creeping things, don't want to eat those too much, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, everything that creeps on the earth, on the ground, according to its kind. How many times does he have to say it? Huh? Do you hear it? What does it keep repeating? According to its kind, over and over and over, in case some really smart dude with a doctorate can't understand that. He's got to say it enough times so they hear it. Okay? God made it exactly how he wanted it to be. And look what he says about it. And God saw that it was good again. It's perfect. I made it how it should be. He didn't just make plants and living things according to their kind. He made all of it. And look at what he says next. Here it is. Here's that climactic point where you're like, this is us. This is our part, guys. Here we are. He's going to talk about us. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth. Basically, he said, I'm making man and he's going to rule everything. He's going to be my gardener. He's going to be my steward, my manager of this planet and everything on it. And he's going to have authority over the whole thing. And I'm putting him there in my image. an image bearer of God, like a child of God representing God, an ambassador of God to this planet, the image of God on you and me, with this incredible responsibility to have dominion over the earth. That's this perfect, incredible creation that God made for you and for me. And he says, here, and look how he does it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He did it perfect. Everything God does was perfect, and you and I bear his image. It sets us above the creatures here. It sets us above the creation of the planets and the stars and all the things in the universe, because we are the only ones that bear the image of God. You're his. His stamp is on you. You want to tell me you don't have purpose? Read those verses again. Read those verses again. God bends down into the clay and he forms mankind with his own hands. He speaks everything else, but us? God bends down and makes us with his own hands. It's personal and it's intimate and it's full of love and it's full of purpose. For you, you have a reason to be here. You're not floating around on a rock in the middle of darkness. God designed you and has a purpose for you, and he loves you. That's good news, isn't it? That's how this gospel lens, this good news that we see everywhere, that's how it starts. That's a great beginning. I can't tell, like, this is awesome. This is only chapter one. We're not even all the way through of the Bible, right? Imagine how awesome the rest of the chapters are if you read them. Read your Bibles, okay? Anyway, and then it says this, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He's like, it's all yours. It's all yours. I'm giving it to you. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth. And every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I've given every plant, green plant, for food. All right, so one for the vegetarians, right? Zero for the carnivores. And it was so, right? It was so. It was perfect. And God saw everything that he had made. So God steps back. He finishes his creation. He steps back and he looks. And it says, and behold, it was. Now he says something different. It was very good. You see, it said good every time. Everything he created individually was really good. It was perfectly good, every single individual thing. But now he steps back and he looks at the entire thing working together in unity in this awesome, perfect system that flowed and was self-sustaining other than him. And he's like, this. Like, each thing was good. But this, as they come together, this is very good. You see, because you weren't just designed to be alone. He wasn't like, I created you, you have purpose, go be alone. He's like, I created you and love you, you have purpose with me. And I'm putting you in this awesome place where you also have purpose with each other. And it's very good that you're together. And so as you look at the people around you, I want you to notice something. These people have the image of God on them. These people were designed perfectly by their creator, and he loves them. And he's designed you to be in relationship with them. That's awesome. That's an incredible purpose. How do you treat each other? How do you love each other? How do you interact with each other? Because it's really good news. It's really good news, but do we believe it in our hearts so much that that's how we act? That's how we treat each other. God saw everything, said it was very good. And then the end of this passage is the first couple verses of chapter 2. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. He was done. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And check this out. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work. Because he was so tired. I mean, you just made the entire universe. You'd be exhausted, right? Right? No. No, this is the God of the universe, the all-powerful God. He wasn't like, man, I'm tired. It was so much work to create like all those whales. They're huge. Have you seen the blubber on those things? Like, he wasn't like the God. He was like, I'm not tired, but I'm going to intentionally rest for a reason. I'm done. I'm finished. And so this tells me something that doesn't fit in evolution either, is that God had an intentional plan and he began it and he finished it and he stopped on purpose creating in that moment. And he's resting as a way to say, I'm not creating new things. I've made this perfect universe. And so I'm resting. It doesn't mean God just took off and went on vacation and now he's not like interacting with us. That's a different story. But he's not actively creating new things within our universe for a specific reason. All right? And so that's a big deal, because evolution will say that things are still being created and growing and sprouting out of nowhere. God's like, no, I stopped because it was very good. It was exactly how I intended for it to be. And so I rested. You may be asking, like, okay, if God created a perfect universe, Rob, what happened? Like, what's the deal then? Because that does not sound like the place we're living today. It doesn't sound like my experience as I'm interacting with this perfect relationship with my parents. I mean, we scream at each other all the time, you know? It's like, I was sick last week, so how does that play into, like, if you saw the color of my vomit, you know, like, that's not, right? Grossing some of you guys out. What is this place then? We're going to get to that next week. You have to come back and find out. But the point is, God didn't create it that way. God created it very good. He created it perfectly. And so I want to just leave you with this, these three verses. It's in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I told you in the beginning that it was Jesus, right, that did all this stuff. And here's where we see it in Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, that's Jesus, whom he appointed the heir of all things, the one who would inherit everything, who owns everything. Through whom also, check this out, he created the world. Sometimes I picture God the Father, like the old, I picture him as the old one, and he's got like this long beard, and he's up in heaven, this like robe, and he's like creating stars, and Jesus is like off playing in the yard or something, right? He's like, no, Jesus is the one, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, is the one that is creating. He created the world. He's the radiance of the glory of God. He's huge. He's incredible. And the exact imprint of his nature. So Jesus is God, and as the second person of God, he's creating the world, and check this out, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Isn't that exactly how Genesis just said the universe was created, as God spoke things into existence? As Jesus spoke things into existence? And not only does he speak it into existence, did he create, he's holding it right now together. So Jesus, the one who came and died for you on a cross to forgive you of your sins and your rebellion against God, that same Jesus, as he was on that cross, was somehow in the exact same moment that he was suffering and dying, holding the entire universe together. Okay. I have a hard time listening to two people talking at once, right? And Jesus is pulling that off. That's your Savior. That's how much love he has for you. That's the purpose and the plan involved in all this. Why are we studying creation as part of this good news series? Because it's the beginning of the greatest news ever told. Look at how awesome this is. It's not all about you. So much done for you. Sometimes we start to think like, oh, this is all about me. I'm really awesome. God must really love me. I must be great. It's all about God's glory. Did you read that part? That Jesus was the radiance of God's glory. So even our lives bring glory to God. That image that we bear is our ability to bring glory to God himself. You're created to glorify God. And so this whole good news is really about him, not us. I want to show you this last video as we close. And I'll pay attention up here real quick.
It's as obvious and as overlooked as the oxygen we breathe, or the hydrogen and helium that warm us. It's as essential to life as the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium beneath our feet. We do not see it because we forget to look. Yet there it is. Outside, it watches over all that lives and moves. It holds together all that is and all that will be. It makes an oak out of an acorn and a forest out of trees. It makes mountains rise and waters fall. Inside, it appears when we least expect it, in the grandeur of the small things. It bubbles over into the joy of creation. It bonds with despair to create comfort. It factors forgiveness and reconciliation into the equation of betrayal. It ignites courage in the hearts of those who will pay the highest price. It mixes with the fallenness of humanity and neutralizes the square root of evil, enabling us to rise above ourselves. Some call it the human spirit, the soul, but it is more than that. It is more basic and more complex. It is immortal, being without origin or end. It is the one element before time from which all other elements arise, the holy, the sacred, the divine element.
You could sum that up by saying Jesus. Before time began, he was, he is now, he forever will be. Jesus is what glues everything together and holds everything together. That's awesome news. Because, here's why it's awesome news. Because he loves you. A powerful being like that is on your side. He knows your name. He loves you. That's awesome. My question to you tonight as you hear this good news is, do you know him? Do you know his name? He's bent down in the clay and he's formed you. He's put breath in your lungs. He holds you together right now. He knows your name. Do you know his? Will you bow your heads and just close your eyes for a second as the band comes back up? I just want to quickly ask you a couple questions tonight. Because for some of you guys, this might be the first time you're hearing this. Maybe some of you have heard it for a long time, but you've believed so much in evolution, you've heard it so much that you're like, man, I never really thought about this. Are you trusting in your Creator? Do you really believe in your heart that God created the heavens and the earth? And that he knows your name and that he loves you, that Jesus has died to save you. And if you're not believing that tonight, if you don't know who this Jesus is, but you're like, Rob, I want to know that. Like, I want to know this God who loves me so much. Will you just raise your hand up so I can see it and pray for you? Say, Rob, like, pray for me because I'm not sure I know Jesus. I'm not sure I've trusted in him for this. I need you to pray for me. Can you just slide your hand up so I can pray for you? Thank you. If there's anybody here tonight, you're like, Rob, I know this stuff, but I've kind of like, I just noticed tonight, I've been listening to the world a lot. I've been just kind of like letting my mind get sucked in by what the world's telling me and by what my teachers are telling me and what I'm hearing on TV. And I need to check myself in this. Will you just pray for me that I get back in the Word and I start looking and studying and seeing what God's done? That's me tonight. Rob, will you pray? Can you just raise your hand up so I could pray for you? Like, pray that I can, like, really get back in God's Word and start living for him. And thank you. You guys can put your hands down. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you guys to come back up, and let's just worship to him tonight. We just saw all the awesome stuff that he's done. I don't know if it's in your heart right now, but I feel like just singing out to God and saying, you're awesome. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you that we're breathing. Let me pray and then we'll do that. Father, we love you so much. God, thank you that you've created. We could spend months just in this one chapter, Lord. We didn't even touch even like the bottom of this thing, Lord. We're asking you to do a work in our hearts. God, cause us to believe in what it says as we read it. Cause us to be grateful for what you've done. Lord Jesus, cause us to look and say, Father, you do have a purpose for us. If there's anybody here tonight, Lord, that feels like they're hopeless or they don't know their reason to even be alive, God, we just show them. Would you reach out? Would you touch their heart and say, I love you. I've created you. I made you very good. Father, we admit we have sin and brokenness and we need Jesus. We need Jesus to redeem us, Father, and restore us. So we praise you tonight. Will you hear us as we worship just now? We love you. In your name we pray.